I came across a story online the other week by a man named Tom McFall, who is a student at Youngstown State University. And I want to share the story with you in his words. So he wrote this. In one of my management classes, I sit in the same seat in the front every day. Every single day I sit there, next to a foreign student that barely speaks English. The most advanced thing I've heard him say in English is, "Wow, my muffin is really good." He also has a habit of stacking every item he owns on the exact space where I sit. His bag, his food, his books, and his phone are always right on my desk space. Every single time I walk into class, this guy says, "Ah, Tom, you here, okay," and starts frantically clearing the desk of his belongings. Then he makes it a habit to say, "Ready for class, yeah?" and gives me a high five. Every day, this guy gives me a high five. I was always annoyed with this guy. I'm thinking, you know I sit in this seat every day. Why are you always stacking your stuff here? And the last thing I want to do is give a guy who barely speaks my language high fives at 8 o'clock in the morning. Just get your stuff off my desk. But today I came to class and was running a few minutes late. I'm standing outside because I had to send a quick text. I could see my usual space right by the door, and of course, my desk was filled with his belongings, the usual. As I'm standing there on the phone, another student who is also late walks into the room and goes to sit in my seat since it's closest to the door. The guy with all his stuff on the desk stops him from sitting down and says, "I'm sorry, but my good friend Thomas sits here." It was then that I realized this guy wasn't putting his stuff on my seat to annoy me. He was saving me the seat every morning. And this whole time, he saw me as a friend, but I was too busy thinking about myself to take him into consideration. I went into class, and of course, he cleared the seat and said, "Ah, Tom, you here? Okay." And he gave me a high five. At the end of class, I asked him if he wanted to get a bite to eat with me. He did, and we talked for a while. It turns out he had moved here from the Middle East to pursue a college education in America. He plans to go back after he gets his degree. He's got two kids and a wife there. He works full-time and sends all his leftover money back home to his wife. I asked him how he liked America. He said he misses his family, but it's exciting to be here. He also said, "Not every American is nice to me like you are, Tom." I bought lunch, and he gave me a high five. You think you know someone, that you have them all figured out, until you share an experience that opens your eyes to who they really are. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus thought they knew who this stranger was, mainly that he was just a stranger, just someone else who was walking along the road, someone of no real consequence. They even get annoyed with him. He kind of butts into their conversation and says, "What are you talking about?" To which they say, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's been going on? What, do you live under a rock?" But that starts a conversation in which he helps them come to a new understanding of Jesus and their faith and themselves, what they've just experienced in his death and these rumors of his resurrection. That conversation leads to a meal in which their eyes are open and they see who he truly is. They go back and tell the others that he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. They thought they knew him until they shared an experience that opened their eyes to who he really was. Author Henry Nouwen, in writing about this story, says it this way: someone listened, understood, and became a friend. Is this not the whole point of the Christian life? to constantly have our eyes open to the presence of God that is all around us, to listen to others and understand them so that we see them for who they truly are, to see their humanity and the very presence of Christ in them in such a way that strangers become friends who are welcomed into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. If we can do that with each other, then all these other problems that divide us will be taken care of. Because you won't allow someone to live in poverty if you truly see the presence of Christ in them. You won't allow someone to go hungry if you truly see the presence of Christ in them. You won't allow someone to be oppressed or live in injustice if you truly see the presence of Christ in them. You won't hate or ignore someone who is different from you if you truly see the presence of Christ in them. You cannot allow someone to suffer if you truly come to know them and see the presence of Christ in them. And so often we think we know someone. We think we know exactly who they are and we have them all figured out, either in the sense of, I like this person and I know them well enough that I know all I need to know about them. Or, this person is an annoyance, an inconvenience, or a problem, and I do not need to know anything else about them. But Jesus calls us to love God, and to love our neighbor, and to love our enemies. And you can only truly love someone when you know them. When you come to see the image of God and the presence of Christ in them. So the Christian life must be this constant pursuit of knowing, of sharing experiences that open our eyes to who this person truly is and allow us to see Christ in them. And so many times, that happens over a meal. There's a book which was made into a movie last year called Wonder. It's the story of a boy named Augie who was born with some severe facial deformities, and he's in the fifth grade and is going to school for the first time with other kids. And they're all afraid of him because he looks so different from them. Every day he sits alone in the cafeteria and eats his lunch. And the other kids stare at him and make jokes or say mean things. One girl feels bad for him. So she goes over and sits with him. They start talking and laughing. They end up eating lunch together every day. She listens to him and comes to understand him. And she discovers that he's just like all the other kids. They become friends. The other kids see this. They start to come over to the table to eat with them. Through this simple act of eating together, their eyes are open to who he truly is. They come to know each other, and they're drawn into fellowship. When we share a meal with someone, it forces us to be present with them, to take time with them and listen to them. Whether we already know that person, whether they are a stranger, whether we are at odds with them, there is something about eating together that is intimate and personal. And it removes barriers that keep us from one another. That's why churches, I think, spend so much time eating together. Potlucks and lunches after funerals and breakfasts or lunches throughout the week with each other. Ice cream breaks with the youth. So much of our life together is centered on eating. And one of the central acts of our life together is sharing a meal. when we come to this table, it's not just so that I, as an individual, can be fed and nourished in my relationship with God. It is so that we, as a community, can be fed and nourished in our relationships with God and in our relationships with each other. Because when we share this meal with people we love and people we like and people we tolerate and people for whom none of that is true, the hope is that as we see them sharing Christ's body and blood, we might see Christ's presence in them. That our eyes would be open to them, their eyes would be open to us, and we would all be drawn into deeper fellowship in Christ. So as we come to this table in just a moment, come with those you know and those you do not. Come with those you like and those you do not. As we share this meal together, look at one another. So easy to walk up and keep our eyes right in front of us or just fixed on where we're going, but as we're sharing this meal, look at each other. See one another. You might think you know someone, that you have them all figured out, but take another look. Let your eyes be opened to Christ's presence in them, so that we might all be made known in the breaking of the bread. We practice that here so that you can go out and do it with every other meal and interaction that you share. Take another look at someone. Don't just assume that you know who they are. Take the time to listen to them and understand them and know them. Because in knowing them, you might come to better know Christ. Let's pray. Living God, where we have closed ourselves off to one another, whether it's with people here or in some other aspect of our lives, use this meal to open us up, to remind us that you are living, active in this world and in all of our lives. Help us to see one another. Not just our ideas of one another. To see each other for who we truly are. Your beloved children, created in your very image, all of us. Help us, Lord, to practice that here, now, so that we might go out from here and live it out each day. We see Christ here so that we can see Christ everywhere.